evening, I'm Melissa Idris. You're watching Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Selangor State Government has found itself once again in the middle of yet another forest reserve dispute, this time with a degazettment of Bukit Jeraka. Selangor Menteri Besar Amiruddin Syahri says the state government will continue the process to degazette Bukit Jeraka Forest Reserve, this to avoid the risk of being sued by up to $1 billion by about 1 billion ringgit by developers. Delisting parts of the forest reserve was said to be approved by the previous Selangor state government in the year 2000, but this claim has been denied by the then Menteri Besar Kirtoyo. Joining me on the show now is Damien Thanam Divian. He is president of the environmental group Pertubuhan Pelindung Khazanah Alam, or better known by its acronym, PEKA. Damien, thank you for joining me on the show today. We understand that PEKA has mounted a legal challenge against the degazettment of Bukit Jeraka. We will be speaking to one of the lawyers shortly about the legal grounds of the case. However, I'm hoping with you, we could begin the show by stating what are your biggest concerns about degazetting Bukit Jeraka. Why is this forest reserve so important to protect?
Good evening, Lisa. Now, saving Bukit Jeraka and its surrounded forested area is very important for Klang Valley, particularly Shah Alam. The forest provides immeasurable ecoservices to regulate heat, dust, natural. It's also a natural flood control. To create rain clouds, it acts as a water catchment area, and it's also the natural habitat for countless species that live there. The birds, the mammals, the amphibians, the aquatic life, and many of it are protected. And not to mention the type of vegetation there, which would be some of the last species in Selangor at least.
Right. Well, so as I understand it, Bukit Jeraka, this particular part is the sole, you mentioned the water catchment area, this is the sole water catchment for Shah Alam. So it serves as a water resource, but also as a flood mitigation area. Is that correct?
That's right. It's a natural barrier that has been assisting us for eons. You know, but when we remove that, we are actually exposing ourselves to the challenges thrown to us by the extreme weather that is being generated by climate change now.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the process of degazetting or the irregularities around this. I am wondering, Damien, how you would respond to the Menteri Besar Amiruddin Syahri's claim that the Selangor government risks being sued up to a billion ringgit if it cancels all these development projects in Bukit Jeraka. How would you respond to that?
Pakatan Harapan has been in the state administration for the last three terms. And the only thing they are good at when it comes to environmental related issues is throwing blame at the previous administration. You know, we have seen this happening in Bukit Lagong. We have seen this happening in now in Bukit Jeraka. So we don't know when it's going to end. When are they going to grow up? That's number one. Number two, as you know, the degazettement as claimed by the state of Selangor, it was only completed on the 5th of May of this year. Okay, so how did the companies get rights to land occupation and development previous to this?
Right. Okay, those are some of your concerns.
Yeah, they must have got the development rights and ownership when it was alienated, when the land was still a forested area. So we don't think that is right.
Okay, I don't quite understand this 20-year gap. Can you help explain to us who have only just come to understand the controversy based on the headlines? What was the delay? Why, say, as we understand, it was approved in year 2000, and why is it now making the headlines?
All right. Okay. The degazettement process was started back in 2004. This 406 hectares. It is part of the forest, but it was never completed. But before it was completed, the land was alienated to development companies. Some of the companies, it was exposed that these companies are 2 ringgit companies. So what is a 2 ringgit company going to do in Bukit Ciraka? So we suspect there could be abuse of power, number one. Number two, there may be elements of corruption. So it is within the responsibility of the current Selangor State Government to investigate this. And if there are any elements such as abuse of power and corruption, this the land that has been alienated should be retracted. It must become the state land which is protected as a forest reserve. How difficult could that be?
Right. Well, if we were, Damien, if we were to look at the case of Kuala Langat, last year, the controversy and the attention it garnered caused the decision to be overturned. Do you think the same might happen here in the Bukit Ciraka case, or are the courts the only way to get the degazettement overturned?
All right. Now, two things here. Number one, Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, it had a public hearing. In the public hearing, I would say, because I attended with many other CSOs and the Orang Asli's there, we would say about 97% objected it. Even federal agencies like the Semenanjung Malaysia Forestry Department, they came in and rejected it. A frame was there, they rejected it. They said it should not be degazetted for development. The people in that area, surrounding areas, ecologists, environmentalists, everyone rejected it. So, but what the state government did was they went behind our backs to continue degazetting it. And even when their own party that leads Pakatan Harapan in Selangor, Keadilan, had sent an instruction to the Menteri Besar so that, and the instruction was hands off Hutan Simpan Kuala Langat Utara or Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve. But they still went and degazetted it. So we were lucky in that because Pakatan Harapan and Keadilan stepped in and said, no, you should not degazette this forest. In the case of Bukit Ciraka, it was degazetted without a public hearing. There was no public hearing. They just degazetted it with the excuse that the degazetting process started in the year 2000 and they had to finish it because land titles were given. There is one plot where development in terms of in the scope of land earthworks is going on.
Damien, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Damien Thanam Devian there from PAKA. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion about the degazettement of Bukit Ciraka Forest Reserve. Rajesh Nagarajan joins us now. He's one of the lawyers representing PAKA and the Shah Alam Community Forest Society in seeking a judicial review of the Selangor State Government's decision to remove the Forest Reserve protection for a portion of land at Bukit Ciraka. Rajesh, thank you for joining me on the show. Walk us through the irregularities that you see with a degazettement process in this in the Bukit Ciraka Forest Reserve.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me today. Now, in relation to the problems and why my clients have filed this suit is because what happened in the year 2000 was that the Selangor State Exco, they came to a decision that 406 hectares of the Bukit Jeraka forest is to be de-gazetted and subsequently to be developed. Now, just to give you an understanding, 406 hectares, Malaysians don't really think in terms of hectares. 406 hectares, if you just input it in your calculator, it will come to about 1,000 acres. And 1,000 acres, 1 acre is approximately the size of a football field. So we're talking about 1,000 football fields here. So it's a huge area. Now, subsequently, what happened was that after the decision was made by the EXCO to de-gazette the forest, they sat on it. They didn't move forward because the next step for you to actually put that decision into effect is to issue an official, not a statement, an official circular, an official statement, and that is done via the Selangor Gazette. Now, Gazette is the capital G. It's an official document. In Bahasa, we call it the Warta Kerajaan. Now, the question is, was the 2000 decision by the Selangor State Exco, was it gazetted? No. Was it diwartakan? Tidak. So what happened? They just sat on it. Then suddenly, in the year 2022, on the 5th of May, which is just approximately 4 months ago, they issued a gazette saying that this particular piece of land in Bukit Jeraka, which is actually a forest reserve, this particular piece of forest reserve in Bukit Jeraka is hereby de-gazetted, but this is the clincher, is hereby de-gazetted as of the year 2000. So everyone was in shock. Eh, how come you can de-gazette and go back in time like that? This is what you call a retrospective de-gazettement. Now, any law that is passed retrospectively is abhorrent. It is not good law. And the funny part here is that is how lawyers think. We think in terms of law, and retrospective law is bad law, and that's the stuff that we learn in law school. But here, it is not even law, because Warta Kerajaan is not coming from the legislative body. It is not coming from the Dewan Undangan Negeri Selangor. Neither is it coming from Parliament. I mean, if these bodies passed a law that is retrospective, we can criticize them. But it was passed, it was not even passed, it was issued by the Selangor State Government, and they do not have the powers to make retrospective laws. And therein lies the problem.
Okay. I know you said that you're a lawyer, so therefore you think in kind of legal terms, legislation terms, right? So my question is, why are the courts the way to go then? Is there a way to have dealt with this? Again, we spoke to Damien Tanam Divin a little bit earlier from Pekka, who mentioned about the public consultation process that did not happen here. Is that the reason why the courts are now the only avenue to move forward? Because there hasn't been consultation with the public, and therefore there's no other avenue.
Exactly. By right, according to the 2011 amendment to the Selangor Forestry Act, the Selangor State Government is beholden to do two things. One is to have a public inquiry prior to the de-gazettement. And the second is to gazette another plot of forest reserve equivalent to the size of the forest that they are destroying. They fail to do both. So 1,000 acres of forest has been taken away from the people of Selangor and even the people of Malaysia, and it has not been replaced. That's number one. Number two, the people of Selangor were not given an opportunity to object or to have their voice heard because the public inquiry was never held. So it would seem to us that this seems to be a sort of a shortcut or a backway road, that they are de-gazetting a plot of forest reserve without going through the processes as stated under the 2011 amendment to the Selangor Forestry Act. So right. because of this back way that has been taken, we have no choice but to go to court to seek redress, to seek justice, and to ensure that 1,000 acres of forest is somehow protected, because we really don't want it to be destroyed.
Can you also explain, as I understand it, there was in August, the Shah Alam High Court ruled that the area in contention was going to be is meant to remain gazetted pending the hearing at the end of the month. And what needs to happen during this period? We've heard reports that there seems to be works happening at the same time. So explain the previous decision by the High Court and what happens next with the judicial review.
You see, judicial review is a two-stage process. First, we have to obtain leave. Then after we obtain leave, then we go for the judicial review hearing proper. So now the leave application has been fixed to be heard by the Shah Alam High Court on the 28th of September, which is about 2 weeks away. And right now, pending the leave application, the Shah Alam High Court has most kindly granted an interim stay. It's not an injunction because it's a judicial review application. It's an interim stay. So what does this interim stay mean for the layman out there? It just means that until the 20th of September, no one is allowed to do any works whatsoever on that 1,000 acres of land in the Bukit Charaka Forest. The parties that were doing works there, that unfortunately are still doing works there, have been informed by the NGOs and the stakeholders in that area, in the Setia Alam and Shah Alam area. Unfortunately, we have come to know that there are still some parties that are doing works there. In fact, I was quite shocked to see dynamiting, blasting going on. There's a small bukit there, a small hill, and they are dynamiting that hill. I actually saw the video myself. And my clients are visibly upset. And I have received instructions from my client to file an action for contempt of court. Now, contempt of court essentially means that you have failed to give effect to the order of the court. And an order of the court must be upheld, must be given effect to. You cannot ignore an order of the court. If you do ignore an order of the court, then you will be subject to committal proceedings, or also known as contempt of court.
Right. Rajesh, thank you for joining me on the show. Rajesh Nagarajan there, one of the lawyers representing Pekka and Shah Alam Community Forest, seeking a judicial review to overturn the gazettement of Bukit Charaka Forest Reserve. We'll be back here and consider this more on this topic in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Thanks so much for staying with me on Consider This. The Selangor State Government and Menteri Besar Amiruddin Syari has come under fire over the decision to proceed with the degazettement of Bukit Charaka Forest Reserve, a process said to have been approved by the previous administration. We have Elizabeth Wong, the Selangor State Assembly Person for Bukit Lanjang, joining us now. She's also the Climate Change Director and Awareness for PKR. Elizabeth, exactly a year ago, we were here on the show discussing the degazettement of the Kuala Langat Forest Reserve. Now it's Bukit Charaka that's being degazetted. Can you help us understand why the Selangor government is expediting a process that had been delayed for over two decades?
I don't think Selangor government is trying to make things move faster. In fact, this is a very interesting case, even for me. It was a decision of the EXCO back in year 2000 to degazette this particular part of Bukit Charaka. Bukit Charaka is actually very big. So this portion was approved for degazettement year 2000. So they had already parceled off to various owners. Then suddenly, I think it was late last year or this year, an NGO did some research and said, look, there's no gazette, meaning that it's not published in any gazette. So when Selangor government found out, I think they just, what they did, what any government would do, which is to complete the process, i.e. to print, you know, the degazettement notice in the gazette. So that happened, I understood, in May. I understand where the NGOs are coming from. I mean, for me, they have in fact approached me when I was in government. And at that time, it was very clear. This piece of forest was no longer in the inventory in Selangor. When we published our compendium of forest reserves in 2015, this chunk, it was already out. So even back then, I told them what I could do was try to speak to the developers and work out maybe they can surrender certain parts of the forest, good pieces of the forest, so that it can be, you know, re-gazetted or maybe part of a public facility, public land.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the options for the Selangor State Government. The Menteri Besar says that, you know, the Selangor government is caught between a rock and a hard place. Cancelling the development projects leaves the state at risk of being sued to up to a billion ringgit. Are there any options left to reverse this or at least save as much of the forest as possible?
I think there are a few things that we can do. One is, you know, for example, back in year 2000, there was also a large piece of forest. It's called Kota Damansara Forest Reserve now. It was degazetted. It had already been parceled off to GLCs, and they had already done, you know, deals with private companies. So what we did was we approached the GLC, and we spoke very nicely to them, and they decided, yes, they're willing to let go this piece of forest in exchange for other pieces that they could get, not forests, but other pieces of state land that they could get from the state government back then. So that's how we managed to save Kota Damansara. The other option is what I mentioned earlier, which is, you know, we should be talking to the state government. We should be talking to the Shah Alam City Council and the developers. Let's plan together. Let's try to get back good pieces of forest and, you know, create linkages. So because on its own, it's not a good piece of forest. It must have linkages up north as well as south. So if you look at the map, it's actually right in the center. You know, we're creating a cavity right in the center. Ideally, the private developers, the GLCs which got the land, can, you know, sit down and say, look, we know it's important. We want to help the government. We want to help the people. Let's sit down and talk what can be given back to the state. I want to say one thing. We had a discussion with the state government. I think it was about a couple of months ago, just before the state assembly. And I think the state government understands the importance of this forest. I think it's not fair to for them to get all these brickbats, unlike Kuala Lumpur. That's a different issue. But this one, I think they're trying very hard. And I believe that the state government is actually talking to the GLCs to return the land back to the state so that it can be forest reserve again. But again, you know, I'm not preempting anything. I think this is one way we can look into, you know, saving as much as we can. I want to look at it as, you know, glass half full as opposed to glass half empty.
Is that likely to happen, though, this discussion, this negotiation? I mean, if the rationale has been in avoiding legal action of a billion ringgit, is it likely that developers might concede? Is it likely that GLCs might step in?
Is it likely? Well, who will take the lead?
Yes, I believe so, because during my time, developers have conceded. They have rearranged their development so that, let's say, you know, they have a very large buffer between the forest reserve and their development. That's one example. GLCs, in my experience, they have given back land to the state when we tell them how important it is for biodiversity, for climate change, and various other issues. We can also talk to Lembaga Urus Air Selangor, which is in charge of raw water, to maintain all the lakes and ponds, because it's flood mitigation. But the state has to take action, and also the local council, which is Shah Alam City Council.
Right. Can I ask you, Elizabeth, how you think this issue might impact the voters' support in the coming general election? I know you said you think the state government is doing all they can to mitigate this, but a lot of goodwill has been lost just looking at the petition to save the Shah Alam Community Forest. There's over 100,000 people who signed that petition. How will Pakatan Harapan, PKR, win back some of the lost goodwill?
I think there must be communication between the state government and also the NGOs. I think I believe it's true, state government is stuck between, you know, the devil and the deep blue sea. I don't want to be in their position as well. So I'm not in government, I'm just a state assembly person. But at the same time, you know, I think they are trying their best, but I feel that there seems to be very little communication between the NGOs as well as the government. I'm more than happy to play a role to try to bring both together, although I don't really want to. But I think communication is key to this. I think we can do something. I mean, let's not be adversarial. I think let's look at ways that we can cooperate and make this, you know, this project real in the end.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Elizabeth Wong, the Selangor State Assembly person for Bukit Lanjan. She's wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching. Good night. We'll be right back.